As you know, there was another strong earthquake that struck the Philippines yesterday, stronger than the one from last week, although not quite as deadly because it hit offshore. But last week was 6.9 in the northern Cebu area. Yesterday was 7.4. And so I meant to mention that at the beginning of the Mass, we pray for the victims of that earthquake, those who died and those who were injured. It might have come back to your mind when you heard today's first reading, where it says, "The heavens and the earth quake, but the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the children of Israel. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, am your God." That's the theme that was chosen for this Mass many months ago. "You shall know that I, the Lord, am your God." So even when the heavens and the earth quake, the Lord is our refuge. Well, the center of our religion is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the Lord who took flesh and became one of us. And because he did that, his mother, our Blessed Mother, is also at the center of our religion, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we honor Mary on Saturdays. We honor her in the month of October. This is the month of the Rosary. We celebrated the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary just Tuesday. That was the last day of our Father Francis Novena. That was also the last day I had a Mass in the United States. I was in my hometown at my home parish. So I remember very well Our Lady of the Rosary. But Our Lady is present in the liturgy all the time. Today, October 11, used to be the Feast of the Motherhood of Mary, which is now on January 1st, Mary, Mother of God. If you look in the icon of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, there's in faint lettering, you can see in the section on October, you can see Motherhood of Mary or Mother of God written in the hand of Father Francis. Anyway, so today is no longer the feast day of Our Lady, but it is the feast day of one of her children, St. John the 23rd. You see a picture of him on the song sheet, big man with a beautiful smile. People found him to be very kind and approachable and very holy, simple man, St. John the 23rd, Pope John the 23rd. So we're honoring him today. But tomorrow, October 12th, even though it falls on a Sunday this year, is the Feast of Our Lady of the Pillar. And then Monday, October 13, is the anniversary of the Miracle of the Sun. So we honor Our Lady of Fatima. So we have lots of reasons to honor Our Lady. But to complete the picture of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I like to honor St. Joseph today too, partly because St. John the 23rd, today's saint, had a great devotion to St. Joseph, and partly because our community in the States had a pilgrimage to the Oratory of St. Joseph last month. It was part of our Jubilee year, part of our 50th anniversary celebration. We made a pilgrimage, just like here we made a pilgrimage to Cebu, there they made a pilgrimage to the Oratory of St. Joseph in Canada. It's the biggest church in the world dedicated to St. Joseph. And I got that holy oil that's sitting there on the altar. I got it from that shrine because the tradition there is to be blessed with oil, the oil of St. Joseph. We'll do that after the homily. Well, I remembered when it was the feast of St. John the 23rd, I remembered that when we were studying St. Joseph, using this book, Consecration to St. Joseph, by Father Donald Calloway, he mentions a number of times how devotion to St. Joseph is something that's come to the fore in our own times, or in modern times, especially the 20th century. Whereas St. Joseph wasn't that prominent in people's prayer life or in their devotional life before, he's become much more prominent in the 20th century. And in fact, the Oratory of St. Joseph that we visited was built in the 20th century. It was completed, I think, after World War II. And the saint who is the inspiration behind it, or the one who started the process, St. André Bessette, he's a man of the 20th century. He died in, I think, 1937 or something like that. Saint, very beautiful, humble St. André. Brother Andre, they call him. Anyway, I remember that Father Calloway spoke about the devotion of John the 23rd, and here in his book, at the very beginning, so page 2 of the introduction, he takes a long quotation from an address of St. John the 23rd about this very thing. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just read this part of it. He speaks about how, of course, Jesus was at the center of the life of the church from the very beginning, and he says here, from the earliest times, his mother Mary was close behind him in the pictures in the catacombs and the basilicas where she was devoutly venerated as Holy Mother of God. But Joseph, except for some slight sprinkling of references to him here and there in the writings of the fathers of the church, for long centuries remained in the background in his characteristic concealment, almost as a decorative figure in the overall picture of the Savior's life. It took time for devotion to him to go beyond those passing glances and take root in the hearts of the faithful, and then surge forth in the form of special prayers and of a profound sense of trusting abandonment. That's what we're promoting now, trusting abandonment to St. Joseph. The fervent joy of pouring forth these deepest feelings of the heart in so many impressive ways has been saved for modern times. Okay, so Pope John the 23rd, modern pope, and he mentions that devotion to St. Joseph is a modern devotion. In today's gospel, a woman speaks in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She says it in a way that might strike us as being a little strange. She says, "Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breasts at which you nursed." Certainly she's referring to Mary. Maybe she didn't know Mary. Maybe she didn't know her name. So she said, "Blessed is the one who bore you and nursed you." Very beautiful. It echoes in some ways what Elizabeth said at the visitation, right? "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Jesus' reply to this, though, at first sounds like he's saying no. That blessing that you speak about is for others. He says, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Some people have misunderstood this passage to say Jesus is downplaying devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Not at all. Because Mary is the best example of those who hear the word of God and observe it. The very best example. She not only heard the word of God and observed it, she received the word of God and gave flesh to it. So she's a unique example, but because she's physically bore the Son of God. But she's also an example for all of us who spiritually become mothers of God when we hear the word of God and observe it, when we do as she does. So that's what I think is the heart of the message of today's gospel. Even when the heavens and the earth quake, and when our lives get shaken and we don't understand what God is doing, what are we called to do? Hear the word of God and observe it. We receive the blessing that comes with faith when we do this, when we hear the word, when we ponder the word, when we let the word have impact on our inner life, and then we live by that word. We live by faith. We live as children of God and children of Mary and children of Joseph. So, it's with that spirit that I want to do this blessing. We're entrusting ourselves to Joseph, who, of course, brings us into the embrace of Mary and Jesus. Mary always points to Jesus. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Mary's the way to Jesus. And Joseph brings us into this holy embrace, the Holy Family. So that's what we're going to do now. I'm going to bless the oil or read the prayer that goes with the oil. And then we'll have the anointing of those who come forward.